Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Lieutenant General Bruce Green, Surgeon General of the U.S. Air Force. Also joining us today from IBM is Brenda Dixon. General, I talked to many of my guests about the importance of collaboration and partnerships. As we've discussed today, your efforts really rest on partnerships, coordination, and information sharing across the services, the federal government, and even the private sector and research universities. Would you elaborate on the key partnerships you are developing to improve operations and outcomes? And maybe you can share with us and describe some points of pride that illustrate this approach in action.
I think that we take tremendous pride in what we're seeing with our casualty care. And in large part, that comes from our work with multiple partners in terms of training environments at, as I said, University of Maryland and the Baltimore Shock Trauma Hospital, at the St. Louis University, where we have another training environment out near our Scott Air Force Base, up at UC Davis in terms of the programs we've worked with their emergency department and level one trauma centers. Same thing at Wright-Patterson with the Miami Valley Hospital System and out in University of Cincinnati where we have multiple training sites. Beyond the trauma, okay, we are now exploring different types of relationships with folks who are leaders in information technology. And so we've been working with Massachusetts Institute of Technology. We've also been exploring different types of activities with the Duke Institute for Genome Sciences and Policy, with IBM, with Coriell, Personalized Medicine Collaborative, with the American Cancer Challenge. These types of partnerships and all of these different organizations are at different places in terms of where they are with their research or how they're approaching a common problem. And as we partner with them, we find that we can indeed integrate different efforts to try and achieve a greater whole. And so I would tell you that the promise of the future in terms of what informatics is going to bring to medicine is kind of unfathomed right now. We've been seeing in wounded warrior care what we can do with simple linkages and doing things that our Federal Express has been doing for years before us. If we can get to secure patient messaging and do things for patients similar to the banking industry does and give them a personal health record, the sky kind of becomes the limit. Wherever the patient is, they now have the information. The idea of going to a doctor and having to repeat your medical history five different times for five different people in five different departments is over. And because it's now available to you and you decide as the owner of your patient medical information what you want to share with this doctor or that consultant or this lab. And so I think that these types of partnerships all lead us in a common direction, and that is to fulfill the promise of informatics to medicine.
That is really an exciting vision. What do you see happening in the short term, in the next 3 to 5 years? What's going to make an impact there? What kind of trends do you see?
The patient-centered medical home is going to be a great inroad to try and focus preventive health efforts. I'm not certain with the country's efforts towards health reform whether the new insurance will drive us there in the time frame that you're outlining, but over the next 10 years, I think you'll see a transition. If you think about the late 90s, when we add a lot more people to the insurance rolls, what's going to happen initially is that we're going to have too much business in acute care clinics and emergency rooms. Folks are going to realize once again, as we did in the early 90s, that that's not the best care. Because of that, you'll see some type of reform that will affect our primary care areas to try and get people back into some type of enrolled care. That enrolled care is what's really necessary before you can truly get to the prevention that you want to see. Obviously, I'm leaning way forward to try and make a system like mine become a model for the way we can do that. But there are multiple institutions in the country, like Kaiser and Geisinger and Mayo, that are basically doing wonderful things in terms of enrollment and trying to get prevention and evidence-based care directly to the patient. I'm just trying to do it on a much larger scale in a highly mobile society, and it's quite the challenge in our informatics world.
So thinking then much further into the future, you have an initiative called Air Force Medicine 2045. Tell us what your thoughts are and the major opportunities and challenges that the Air Force Medical Service will encounter between now and then, and what how you're trying to get the service to evolve to meet those challenges.
I brought together a group of fairly amazing people in a futures group that we call 2045. We focused on 2045 with the goal of sustaining this country as a superpower, believe it or not, because in history, it's rare and perhaps the world has never seen one country maintain superpower status for more than 100 years. And so we kind of used that as the place to start. I brought in people from universities and from different industries. We brought in some external speakers and essentially tried to get people to look at what are the drivers, what are the things that will change our world between now and 2045 using scenario-based situations. The futures-based agile thinking, as we now call it, was necessary because when you do the typical lean process analysis, you tend to be focused on efficiency, and everything that the 2045 group is looking at is about effectiveness. What will be effective in changing the future? What are the things that the future must evolve in order to get to the outcomes we really desire, which are better health and better care and best value? And so when you think about those things and try to figure that out in our world, we came up with some strategic imperatives. And those strategic imperatives started with patient-centered care, and that's something that we have to get to today. As soon as we can, we need to get to patient-centered care. We then have to tie in the informatics, okay, on that patient-centered care so that we can basically focus on precision applied evidence-based medicine. We have to be agile in our institutions because the thing that gets in the way of change and disruptive innovation is middle management, okay? Because they know how to succeed and get ahead, and we're changing that, okay? So the cheese does move, and so we have to teach them how to succeed in a new world. And we have to partner because there's not a single solution. There's no one institution that's going to find the answer. It's really about how do we partner to try and bring this together and shape a future that we all desire.
Well, picking up on the future, General, what are you doing to ensure you have a well-trained technical workforce in order to meet the challenges of today and the opportunities of tomorrow? What are you doing about recruitment and retention?
We have shifted a lot of our recruitment and retention into scholarships. We found that we had less luck bringing in fully qualified people, that as they finished their specialty and needed to pay off loans and those types of things, they were less willing to come into a military situation. And so we've increased our scholarship programs by almost 600, just a little less than doubling them in the Air Force Medical Service. We've diffused those to different sets of expertise, not just physicians, but also nursing, pharmacy, physical therapy, trying to make certain that we can attract people who are innovative and obviously in need of money for scholarships. But the reality is that if we can bring in good people, we see good things happen. We have very active training programs, both in graduate medical education, education with industry. We put our people out working in fellowships with various institutions across the country. We try and set up research agreements with different institutions, again, trying to let them share our data and to help us find the new evidence. And clearly, I have a machine, if you will, that teaches them how to operate in austere situations, how to critically think your way out of a situation that no one else may have faced before you. And so our goal is to continue to try and foster creative people with agile thinking who are very good at lean process analysis to try and make things ever better. Clearly, some of this costs a lot of money, and I started off by telling you that I oversee a lot of money, but the reality is we want to be efficient and reapply those resources to make things ever better.
General, you've had a wonderful career, and today's conversation was just terrific. I want to ask you if you have any advice for folks who are thinking about a career in either public service or medicine or in the armed services.
I think that it'd be very simple. Just go do it. You'd be amazed at the things you can get involved with. When I started off some 36 years ago, I told you, I knew I was seeking a little bit of structure. And the reality is that little bit of structure has allowed me to be involved with just incredible things. The people I've met, the places I've been, the situations I had to find my way out of and have succeeded have been remarkable. It's not the kind of thing that you can do just being a doc, okay? You can seek a little bit by joining different missionary organizations or non-government organizations, private volunteer organizations. But the reality is that when you look at what the government has to offer, we are involved in worldwide situations where no one else can go. And so it's been a marvelous career. It's been something that I can't tell you how proud I am to have served this country now for 36 years, and I do it again in a heartbeat.
General, that's terrific advice, and I want to thank you for joining us today. But more importantly, Brenda and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Oh, thank you very much. I have to tell you, you know, it probably comes across too much as things that I've been involved with when we do these kinds of interviews. So my thanks would go out to so many people who've been involved in setting up expeditionary medicine and AeroVac and all of the wondrous things I've talked about in terms of genetics and informatics have come from very bright minds that I've been privileged to work with over many years.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Lieutenant General Bruce Green, Surgeon General of the U.S. Air Force. My co-host from IBM has been Brenda Dixon. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.